Good morning, everyone. It feels like I've been away for so long, and in truth, it isn't that long. I wasn't well for the service last week, which was sad because I wanted to be there. And then this week was like a blur as I slept through most of the days. But maybe that's a better way to heal myself, because my spirit has been most troubled by the realities of life in our country in these days and these times. So I wrote something, and it's funny, I keep telling you this, when you start off writing a sermon blurb a month in advance, who knows what the world's gonna be when you go to deliver it, right? And next week, who knows what I'm gonna say to us after whatever happens to us on Tuesday? Can you imagine? This may be a hallelujah moment, or it may be, get your tissues, we gonna have some serious cry time, right? Who knows? But this is what I started with, and here's what I'm gonna deliver to you. So as a nation, and as a spiritual community, and in particular for UUCLV, this covenantal community, when we come together, I heard something about the beloved community, about us being able to be one as a human family, about us taking seriously who and what and why we are, where we are, the particularity, the individuality, the unique status of each and every human being, and certainly every Unitarian Universalist brings to this community, right? This ability to be together in this beloved virtual world now, or collectively when we're in the sanctuary, right? There's something powerful in that. And I'm wondering, how do we individually heal ourselves because we're dealing with so much, whether it's the pandemic or the global issues, the economic concerns. We've got a lot on our plate. I think the only way we're going to come out of these heavy, weighted down times, and everybody's not troubled. Certainly everybody's not fearful, and certainly everybody's not upset. The stock market's doing well. I don't know if somebody out there has seen their index go way up and y'all doing all right. You know, hey, that's real. But it's not the vast majority of people. And it's certainly not most of the individuals I've been fortunate enough to meet here. People are concerned. And as I was looking at scanning the globe, there used to be Wide World of Sports, right? Scan the globe. As I scan the UU world and things, I came across some notes I had taken from a sermon I had heard by one of my colleagues, Reverend Wayne B. Aronson. And he said, and I'm quoting here, he said, the Gospels are full of stories about Jesus and healing. These healing stories represent some of the most moving images in Scripture. They are the most important miracle stories that we used to convince the world that Jesus was the Son of God during the first 5 centuries of the Common Era. Those are the stories that the Unitarians of the 19th century disputed as being legitimate proof of Jesus's authority. They are stories that have been an inspiration to generations of Christians and Christian healers. End the quote there. Really? Okay. It's true, here's my words, it's true from the beginning we Unitarians and Universals, and thus us UUs and others, have found their way maybe or were forced away from the ancient religions, the pagan and earth-based traditions, the ancestral faiths that had carried people throughout the eons of time, right? It's only in relative modern times that these few religions are what's dominant in Christianity, Islam, Buddhism, Judaism, right? These religions that now dominate the earth, but before there was so much more. And of course, last night and maybe tonight are particularly important times in the ancestral religious communities, right? The earth-based religions, right? The African traditional religions, huh? But how do we individually heal mind, body, and spirit? How do we heal fundamentally when we're asked to believe things at times that don't match up with who and what we are? So it's no wonder that we in the 21st century as Unitarian Universals, many of us have trouble with healing in a religious context, right? Because so many of us come out of some other faith, right? I was raised essentially Christian, but you Christian, right? And then I started expanding on my own terms once I pushed away the dominance and control of my parental home, right? I started going expansive. Well, there's more than what they're exposing me to. But how do we use our faith community, this spiritual community that is UUCLV, this larger Unitarian Universalist faith to gird us, to build us up, to strengthen us, to assist us in the healing of ourselves in this world of ours? You know, the more I dug in, I was like reading things that said, oh, faith healing is contrary to almost everything that rational people buy into. That most of my UU friends and colleagues who are religious humanists, that they don't buy this stuff. Although when they ordained me, they laid hands on me. What was that about if you don't believe in something that's more powerful than just the words, hmm? I've got some holy water in here somewhere. I might have to splash it on myself because I need that kind of healing. But the thing is, most of us as UUs are willing to put ourselves in the hands of doctors, of pharmacists, of mental health professionals. Most of us, to be fair, have had mostly good experience with that medical model of healing, right? And yet I could tell you as a hospital chaplain for 17 years or so that over 300,000 wrongful deaths happen in hospitals that they admit to. So, right? So we generally give that medical model the ability to control what's healing taking place within us. We take whatever pills we are told to take and come back and see me if you're not better in 48 hours, right? After the magic of pharmaceuticals has done their wonder, right? And to be fair, most often everybody I know does say they feel better. I, in fact, didn't start feeling better this week until I took the pharmaceuticals. Now, maybe they've got me hyped up and that's why I'm sitting here with you now. But no, this feels like me. I don't feel fuzzy. This is Gordon Clay Bailey, and I think I've got a mostly rational mind. The thing I'm getting at is deeper than though just the physical realities of, oh, I don't have a fever right now. I'm not gagging and coughing on anybody. I'm sitting here without the body ache. That's real. I do feel better. But what I'm getting at is that totality of you, that holistic view of you, that mind-body-spirit connection that I buy into, maybe some of you buy into too, that there's more to us than just this physical form, right? There's something more going on. So how then shall we be healed holistically, totally? How do we bring that mind and this body and the heart or the spirit into a healthy and whole place? And it's not easy, right? I don't think it's easy. There are some gurus who may prescribe something, tell you to meditate 3 times a day for thus and such, and and focus on this or that, and maybe you'll get it from that. I haven't experienced it that way. But I have experienced people who were told they were going to die in a hospital bed, who got up out of a hospital bed, walked out of a hospital, and went on to live lives. And I have experienced those who were suicidal and were giving up on life, who found a way through changing their lives, changing their attitudes, changing the pharmaceuticals, right? There are ways, and the possibility of being healed and whole, mind, body, and spirit, absolutely, I'm going to say it unequivocally, I believe it absolutely exists, and we can find it if we pursue it as if our very lives depended upon it. Now that's the thing. How many of us will say our lives depend on our spiritual health? I don't see too many of you shaking your heads. Yeah, Brother Peach. No, you're sitting there quizzically saying, what is this man saying? But the reality is that your mind, your body, and your spirit can be altered, can be changed. As a woman thinketh, so she is. And that plays a role here. So how do you religious liberals, you progressive theologians, start to take healing in a religious context seriously? What do you do with the healing in a world that seems so broken? How do we contend with the fact that so many people in our own nation seem to have maladies of all three of these areas of the human being? Well, I'm going to say it starts with you. I'm going to say it starts with you. I'm going to say that dealing with your personal issues, our individual issues, will help us then deal with the public square, will help us then deal with the political realities of the day, will help us deal with a pandemic that most of us have no power to control. Dealing with the self first is not narcissism. It's the way it must be in order for most of us to step forward into the world in a positive way and deal with the others. Because if you haven't dealt with yourself, I think mostly things are lost. I want to say to you, here's some thoughts that I thought that came to me. So often I'll say, change your attitude and you change the world. I told this to my children. I told it to my children because it is what was told to me by my parents. Gordon, fix your attitude. I've told you before that I've been accused of being an angry black man. Hell yeah, I'm angry. America hasn't been good to me and my people. Just because I'm not living on the street humming and bumming doesn't mean I'm happy with the realities of these here United States. By the same token, do y'all know what a token is? That's what we used to use on the subway. By the same token, I wouldn't be happy with what's going on in Nigeria either. I wouldn't be happy with what's going on in Jamaica. I wouldn't be happy with what's going on in most places in the world because our human families got some serious broken issues. But changing your attitude, I believe, is a fundamental, like, base place to begin the journey towards healing and wholeness. I'm going to say to you, seek the inner kingdom. And I want to read to you from something I enjoy. I don't know, some of y'all may get this guide for spiritual living. It's from Science of the Mind. I've been reading it for some 20 years. It's a little booklet, and it's kind of like my daily word. Did any of you, your grandmother, or somebody get the daily word or one of those little prayer booklets? My grandmother has been dead since 1974. I still get the daily word. She must have given them thousands of dollars because it's still coming. But let me share these words for you for November 1st. And it says, honoring that which is within. And it starts off with a quote. A person can accomplish anything and rule their own world. That's from an unknown source. Here's the second quote. It's from Ernest Holmes. He's kind of the founder or father of the science of the mind movement. He goes, "We are living in an intelligent universe which responds to our mental states. To the extent that we learn to control these mental states, we shall automatically control our environment." And I'm not going to read the whole thing to you. It's got a reading there, right? But I'm going to give you this first paragraph. "Each day, we can find great power by venturing into our inner world and acknowledging our internal state before venturing into the outer world. As we descend down the eternal steps towards the seat of our soul, we begin to see elaborate gardens, structures, and landscapes created by our memories, beliefs, perspectives, and outlooks. With an honest introspection, we can see that everything in our external life is a reflection of a seed that has taken root within us." The seed I planted long ago about being angry about the water cannons being sprayed on black protesters in Selma or in Birmingham, that was a seed I planted. We're inundated on a daily basis with all kinds of visuals, auditory things. Things are coming past us so fast, we're mostly not taking note of it. But the reality is that we as individuals get to plant the seeds of what's going to blossom and grow within us. It's as simple as that, and you say that's too simplistic? Maybe so. But I believe it's where it begins. So seek the inner kingdom of the self is the first step towards a better life, a better society, a better reality. A house divided cannot stand. Lincoln said it. So many others have said it. This nation won't stand. It won't continue to function if we continue to go down the path we're going. Our denomination at times feels like we've got a rift in it between the humanist and the theist, the spiritualist and the scientific. Houses divided don't do well. The point isn't that we all have to be on the same page. No. The point is that we all have to give respect, that all of us matter, right? We say Black Lives Matter because it's clear in the United States that Black lives don't matter. I'm going to tell you another set of lives that don't matter. Too many of our youngins don't get treated as if they matter. Certainly those children at the border don't seem to matter, do they? But the reality that I want you to at least take away from today is forget the divided house, forget the fact that I'm a male and I'm dealing with a female or I'm transgender and I'm dealing with some cisgender. No, we are living beings with our own unique particularities. Doesn't matter except when the individual needs to assert themselves. I am somebody. I'm Gordon Clay Bailey. Yes, but the reality of the humanness, the living carbon life form that we are, supersedes all of the particularities of the individual. Our human family is in crisis, and only by us taking responsibility for our individual thoughts, actions, and deeds will the real change take place. Somebody told me about going into isolation earlier today. Someone didn't want to listen to the election results. And I get it. Who wants to hear what could possibly be horrific for some of us? But running away and hiding never changed any reality. It will give you a moment of reprieve. Heck, you could stay away for as long as your money will allow you to stay away. But eventually, you got to come back and deal with it. Dear friends, what you think, what you drink, what you eat makes a difference. drinking it? Well, if I listen to CNN all day or MSNBC or Fox News, I'm going to be sick as I can be. Y'all going to see me locked up in the toilet because I'm going to be in there flushing and flushing and flushing because I'll be sick. Because whether it's from the left or it's from the right, I'll be sick with what they're reporting if I listen to that nonstop. What you feed your brain affects you. What you listen to. If I listen to gangster rap all day, I might be more obnoxious than I've ever been. My poor wife might be like, oh, where did this man come from? Because he's like super patriarchal and domineering. And I can't listen to that all the time. Doesn't mean I don't want to hip hop, a hibby to the hip hop, hopping you don't stop. Right? Doesn't mean I don't want to hear some rap sometime. I want to hear it sometime. I just can't listen to it like this all the time, hammering me. Same thing. I can't eat fried chicken every day, but believe me, I love me a piece of some good fried chicken. But maybe 3 or 4 times a year is more appropriate. Or maybe no times a year would be the most appropriate environmentally, but I'm growing. I got to grow into that. I got to get there. So what you are, what you ingest from a mental state, from a physical state, what am I drinking? I'm drinking green tea because a 95-year-old in Bethesda, Maryland swam 5 miles a day in a pool and told me the only thing she drank all day was water and green tea. I won't be like that elderly Korean woman, 5 miles a day at 95. Lord have mercy. That was amazing. She's my hero. So what you ingest comes out in you. And you knew this already. The last thought I had was action reflection leading to new action. So you're going to do what you do. You're going to do whatever you can to heal yourself. At times it's a pint of Ben and Jerry's. At other times it's a cup of green tea. At another time, don't get on me, it may be a pint of some good whiskey. I don't know what your choice is for your healing medicines, right? But whatever you do, do it and then reflect upon what you've done. Is what you're doing helping you? Do you feel the curative effects? Is your mind, is your body, is your spirit made better by what you're doing? If I spend my day reading life prayers, I'm in so much better shape than I am reading the LA Times or the New York Times or our local newspaper, right? Because it's what I'm thinking about. So what you do makes a difference. Our president of our association, Susan Frederick Gray, sent out a letter last month, and she called it UU Theology Calls Us to Defend Our Democracy. If you didn't see it, go to the UUA.org website. Maybe I'll make sure Irma posts it again for us. I'm not going to read the whole letter, but Susan says, Dear UU leaders, I hold you all in my heart in these unpredictable and volatile times. I know I am not alone in having moments of overwhelming grief for too many loved ones lost, and moments of acute fear and despair. Mindful of all that is at stake in this coming election. She goes on to tell us that whenever she feels discouraged by the rhetoric of division, scarcity, and cruelty, she draws strength from our faith and from all of you, you fabulous Unitarian Universalist. She draws strength from you, from the borderlands of Arizona to the cities of Louisville, Rochester, Kenosha, Portland, and so many more. Unitarian Universalists are demonstrating that we have courage, that we have heart, and that we have the faith to meet this moment, and we'll meet it together. So when I call on you as the beloved community, it's because I need us to stand strong together. Not because any one of us agrees with what the other one thinks theologically, but because we are a covenantal community that dares to say, using that first principle, that inherent worth and dignity clause, makes us see each other. I see you. I hear you. I feel you. I want to know your mind. See, that's the beginning of us moving from a place of individual reality to our communal, to our global. And I believe it's what's needed. So as I draw us to this close, eat right, exercise, drink plenty of water, stay connected to one another, stay connected to your loved ones. Practice gratitude, because if you're alive today in that play Hamilton, they sing a song, something about being alive right now. What an amazing thing it is to be alive right now. I am thankful that I am alive in this moment to be here with you via this mechanism. Be kind to yourself. Relax. Stop catastrophizing. Engage in activities that will make you happy and make you relaxed. Perform small acts of kindness for yourself and for others. Whose feet have you rubbed lately? Rub somebody's feet. Get some good oils, cocoa butter. Rub some of them old tired souls. Remember that although these times are unsettled and potentially stressful, this is a temporary state. Some level of normalcy, whatever your normal was, will resume at some point. If you need somebody, reach out. Was that song we played? That's right. Call me if you need a friend. Call, right? Reach out and call somebody. Brothers and sisters, heal the world. I guess I'm stealing this from Michael Jackson, right? Heal the world. Make this a better place for you and for me. I'm going to go beyond the entire human race, for all living sentient beings. Heal the world. Heal yourselves. Let's heal our nation. Amen.